reading from Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulation, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. But you showed sympathy to the prisoner and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. But you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. But yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul.
Two more announcements to be made. Big picture class this Saturday also at 8, and followed by the archaeology class in the Bible at 9. Then the ladies' class. This evening, what we promised this morning, we're going to look at patience. In Hebrews 10:36, part of the context that Joe just read, I appreciate that. For you have need of patience so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. So receiving the promises of God, one of the conditions is having patience. So it makes it an important part of our Christian character and nature. Patience is one of those traits of character that all desire and few possess. The lady once asked a preacher to preach on patience, and then she added, preach about it soon, I can't wait. Being understanding of that, for those who want to hear about patience quickly, the following lesson is submitted. I even kept the introduction short, so we're right into it already. The need of patience in the quest as a Christian to become God-like, there's the need to acquire the quality of patience. God is extremely patient with all of us, that's for sure. He has to be to put up with all our shenanigans. In the same vein, we too need to develop patience to put up with the world around us and even with ourselves. In other words, we all need patience. Something that should be a part of all of our toolbox as a Christian. In 2 Peter 1, I guess we've mentioned this context over and over again, but Peter begins, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. In order that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. So what Peter is beginning to tell us, in fact, he talks about all things that pertain to life and godliness being granted. That's the things he's talking about. And they're there to help us, he says, partake of the divine nature. That is, being a Christian is being Christ-like. And the things that God has given us is to help us achieve that goal. And that you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. We talked about that this morning. That's where we're getting away from. And we don't want to go back into it. For this very reason also, applying all diligence, you must add to, we've talked about moral excellence, the knowledge, the self-control, and this evening, perseverance. Hebrews 10:36 says, if you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promises. That was our opening statement. But in the opening statement, it said patience. This translation says endurance. We're going to look at the Greek word hupomone, translated as patience into English. It's a compound word meaning to abide under. But this is the more or less the umbrella term. We're going to be looking at words that are all part of the patience group. Endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. You know, they're all closely intertwined and part of, it should be part of our vocabulary. It therefore expresses the ability to bear up under, or as some of your translations have, to endure. They're roughly the same thing, but there is a difference. The stress is upon the fact that love beareth all things. This is characteristic of love is patience. 1 Corinthians 13, 7, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, endures all things. But notice, bearing all and enduring are two different phases of the same thing. Patience, however, is not just the passive submission and indifference. In fact, that opening definition of the compound word, there's not going to be times when all you can do is just bear under, you know, of a weight that's been put upon you, and you're to patiently carry the weight of it. It is steadfast endurance and triumph and trust, the ability to take any event and problem, circumstance, or tribulation, and figure out how to use it to your benefit. It is a working away at and through a task, growing by it and seeing it through. This is where patience becomes endurance. Because where patience is just bearing under, endurance is actually looking at the problem that's coming at you and using it to figure out some way to use it for yours and God's benefit. So it's a very interesting word, a word that is dynamically useful or causes us to stop to think about our situation in life. When something happens, how can we put a positive spin on it? How can it be a utility for our arsenal in God's army? I've run across it in several things that are not Christian endeavors. Just recently, there was a group of businessmen who, one of the things that they prided themselves on, this was an inner circle of, you know, wealthy men, is that no matter what investment they made, how it went, they always tried to figure out some way to make it work for them. There was also, during World War II, a spy master who, the same thing, no matter how the encounters went with the other side, they always tried to figure out some way to spin it or to use it toward their benefit. And this is what God wants us to learn. The circumstances we encounter in life, how can we use it? What is there about that that God has actually given to us, which may look like a disaster, but, you know, we can turn it around, making terrible cliche, you know, lemonade out of lemons. In Matthew 10:22, it says, "You will be hated by all on account of my name, but it's the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." That is, even the hatred of you as a Christian, how can you use that? God wants you to think about these things. Jesus is the perfect example of this very thing. In the moment when his enemies had him thoroughly defeated, or thought they did, he uses his very execution on the cross to become exalted by the Father and to save all those he loves. This is the way Hebrews 12:2 puts it. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Not just was patiently up there, he was using it for his own exaltation and for the benefit. You know, his sacrifice made it possible for all of us to be saved. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul prayed that Christians might be directed into the patience of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, "And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ." Patience, steadfastness, you know, that keeping on no matter what. Patience is not a segment of one's character. It is a spirit pervading every fiber of our disposition. You can't, although we have words that kind of put them aside, you know, that this means this, this means this. And we have a tendency to, you know, to like number them and go down and just, you know, bullet marks. In most cases, the things we look at, we're adding to our faith, they're not individual things. Some way they're melded all together as far as God's concerned and should be an integral part of all the other things. Longfellow put it this way, let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. Okay. Time's to go, time not to go, you know, wait for your opportunity. So patience comes in all forms. The apostles had patience as an example. Paul said he was a minister of Christ marked by this quality. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 4, that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance. It was a mark of their ministry as God's apostles. He said it was a quality needed for service to his brethren and also because of his brethren, if you read some of the of his letters. 2 Timothy 2, he says, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory, so that they also may learn to use things to their benefit. Paul therefore did not cease to pray that all might be strengthened with all power for this very quality. Colossians 1, 9 through 11, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Then he adds something else that we may not think about it, joyously. You know, to bear under trials, burdens, whatever, figuring out how to use them for your sake, for God's sake, and to do it happily, joyously. There's a difficulty in patience. Patience is difficult to gain and hard to maintain, but it can be learned. Notice the importance of Peter's statement. For what credit is there if you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor in God's sight. So it's not just patience for anything, you know, maybe that you do wrong, but if you are unjustly persecuted and you bear under it and you maintain a proper Christian character and spirit, there's a reward that goes with it, an eternal reward. So it's never in vain, never useless. God is watching and he is rewarding. The Bible speaks of the patience of Job, talking about patience being difficult, but someone has suggested that even Job with his boils must have scratched a little. You know, just every once in a while it gets to you. That's okay. God makes allowances for that and helps us along. Patience is not easy for anyone, even Job. But James says, behold, we count those as blessed who did endure. Job used his situation for the better. You know, to teach his friends, you know, to have an outcome of something far greater than what he lost. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Now, even in situations as bad as Job's, we're not in it alone. Be patient, God is there with us, helping us. How to develop patience? Patience is consciously developed as any other quality of character. It comes from enduring trials. This is why God sends the trials, to kind of help us work things out. In James 1, 2-3, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So when your faith is shining, when you're going through the trials and keeping your faith, it is producing endurance, producing a way of learning how to handle things. Romans 5, 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, Exaltation, that's literally to be so overjoyed that you leap in the air and kind of kick your heels together. Okay? That's how a Christian feels about the things that come his way that God sends, because he knows it's making him a better and better person. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. You know, that keep on keeping on. Like swimming, it is most practical to just jump in and start working at it. Mark Ford wrote a book. The title was interesting because he deals with a lot of things like swimming, writing, or whatever. And the name of the book was, you know, we're used to the expression, ready, aim, fire. And he called the book Ready, Fire, Aim. I mean, if you sit there and just read books about swimming, you know, until you think you got it down, you may never get in the pool. But if you get in and start messing around, shallow in, you know, just get started. And then you can kind of see, you know, the movements. In fact, even if you read about it, you've still got to have some muscle memory working on it. You know, the body has to learn to relax and knows what works most and, you know, what propels you through. It takes a little. So you get ready, you fire, and then when you're in there, you start working on it. And a lot of things are like that. And so is developing patience. There's much to be drawn from examples. In study two, Paul speaks of the patience and comfort of the scriptures. You know, that you can get patience. You know, looking at case studies of men like Job and others, and we can begin to emulate them. Romans 15:4. Consider carefully the following verses, Revelations 1:9. You know, how important is this as a part of our life? It's one of the three things that John talks about when he's writing to the seven churches of Asia. He said, I, John, am a brother and fellow partaker in the kingdom, the tribulation, and, what does he say, the perseverance, which are in Christ. So as far as he was concerned, as major things that one is partaker of, you know, as a fellow Christian with those in the seven churches, perseverance is a major one. Because they're about to undergo persecution, tribulation, trials, and it's like no matter what, you persevere. Use the analogy before of running, which I don't do anymore. But when I did, you know, it's just, there's something you've determined. There's a mindset in your head. You're going to put in so much distance. You know, it wasn't too long ago. It was 4 miles in my case. But take off at 4 o'clock in the morning. There's things along the way. You know, there's potholes. There's rocks, even when you're walking. Cars, dogs, you know, the dead of night, you know, all these things that you have to, you know, they start raining. You know, one time I almost got hit by a meteor, but you just keep going, you know, and you know, finally you make, you know, your destination. You persevere, you know, and not to mention the side aches and the shortness of breath and, you know, whatever. But all these things get thrown into the mix, and you got to just take them as they come. And that's the Christian life. You take things as they come and just keep on. You know where you're going, and so you just keep pushing it. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. So here we have steadfastness attached to hope. So if you've got a good, strong Christian hope, you're steadfast in what you're doing. Because you know all the promises are involved in the hope, and the hope is like that carrot that's out there. It's a firm confidence that what you're doing is necessary and better for you, and you're going to be rewarded for it. And the reward of patience. There is much personal gain from the development of patience, as James puts it. Let endurance have its perfect pursuit. Now, other trials led to endurance, but endurance itself have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So as you're enduring and you're learning to use things and stuff like that, your character is growing and filling out toward perfection. That reminds me of something else we did one time. That word perfect comes in stages. The word is used in like three different ways. And we think of it, you know, see, if you think of a flower, you have a tendency to think of, you know, the flower in full bloom. But it's considered a teleos, perfect, when it just starts. Okay, you've got the branch, and suddenly that little shoot starts out. Everything is in that shoot that is needed in order to complete its journey. When it grows a little bit more, it may form a bud. There's everything in that bud that's necessary for the final product. When it blooms, okay, that's still not the final destination. That might be just, you know, part of it. It's still considered perfect because it's got everything there. And then it develops a fruit. And we're the same way. When we decided to become Christians, we started on a life of perfection. In fact, with Christ's help and the cleansing of his blood, you know, God justifies us to perfection. I mean, we look like his son. We've put on Christ. Okay. Then as we go, you know, putting everything in there, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, it should be all there. Not fully, you know. It's like, you know, when you look at what you're adding to your faith, it says, with all these are there and increasing. So even if they're there, it's a perfection that you've achieved, but it's still not there yet. You have to keep working at it, increasing all the areas. And that is, you know, the way we perfect ourselves, you know, in stages. You know, it's not just putting on Christ, but as Galatians, you know, Paul says in Galatians 4:19, it's having Christ formed in you. So first you put him on, Galatians 3, and then you're working so that you're actually becoming Christ-like. The added benefit of saving your souls, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. You're learning to handle life. You're learning to handle the worst parts of life, the trials and the tribulations. So that's how you gain life in God. In fact, there's one other thing. You'll notice the picture of a fisherman. You think of patience. Robert Trevor, you probably know one of his works. He wrote the book Anatomy of a Murder. But he was actually more famous among fly fishermen as an ardent enthusiast of fly fishing. For him, he called it the amiable madness. And for him, it was getting away from life and, you know, all the harshness of it, and just getting down him, you know, on a misty lake, you know, early in the morning, you know, with a good trout. And he liked trout. He said, you know, of the fish, they don't lie, they don't cheat, they can't be bought, they can't be bribed, and they're unimpressed with power. But they can be drawn by quietude, humility, and endless patience. Qualities Christian needs. Probably why Jesus thought the first apostles he should pick would be fishermen who had the patience to fish. And that's something we need to think about. Yeah. It's a very useful disposition. In fact, we're not advocating that you not be here Sunday because you're going out fishing, but look at it another way. The Chinese have a proverb that goes, patience for the moment, comfort for 10 years. The psalmist put it another way. I waited patiently for the Lord. We're kind of fishing for him, too, to get him into our lives and working with us. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. So patience in just waiting upon God, looking to him, putting our hope in him, our trust in him, and realizing that he will help us out of all our situations and put us on firm ground. That's why he's considered the rock. Okay? And this is what you can have for your life, what God would like you to have in your life, would love to work with you in order to develop this particular characteristics of your growth and development and character. And this is one of the things, you know, what we're trying to do in the church is help you, you know, recognize these things, achieve these things, and with God's help, give you a better life now and also in the world to come. So if this is, you know, you need some help in this or prayers, you know, whatever your needs are at this moment, especially if you want to dedicate yourself to God in baptism, please let your request be made known now as we stand to sing.